Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently taking us chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the book of Ephesians. And coming up, we're concluding a message called Ready for Battle. We're learning about the importance of prayer, so let's open up to chapter 6 as we go back to basics.
I can get in my mind excited about a prayer meeting. Yeah, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're going to pray for this. We're going to see the enemy overthrown here, and we're going to see God do his work. And so let's get together for prayer. And we're all excited. And then you get in the prayer circle, and all of a sudden it's like, you know, something happens where this dark cloud just drops on top of you. This weight, this oppression just comes up on you, just kind of like pushing you down and sort of silencing you and kind of numbing your brain to where you can't even think. And your eyelids, you can't even keep them open. Suddenly you want to just fall asleep, and you're thinking, all right, well, I hope this prayer meeting gets over real quick, because, man, I got to get out of here. You were so excited before you got to it. I'm describing my own experience quite often. And then you find yourself, I can't even speak. I can't even articulate. I can't even think of anything to say about this. That's part of the enemy pushback on us. That's the enemy's resistance. That's him saying, no, I'm not going to let these prayers go out. I'm not going to let this happen. I'm not going to let these people drive me back from the ground I've taken. That's exactly what we're intending to do. But in order to do it, we have got to persevere. Jesus said it. He told a parable to this end, that men should always pray and not lose heart. And then he told the story about the woman who went to the unjust judge, and she said, you know, I want you to vindicate my cause. And the unjust judge, he had no interest. He didn't care about her. You just, no, I, you know, leave me alone. Don't bother me. But she was persistent. She kept coming. And finally, he relented of his unwillingness, and he gave in, and he did so simply because of the persistence of the woman. Jesus said, God's not like that. That guy was unjust, but even a person like that, through persistence, was worn down. He says, how much more is God, the righteous judge, going to respond to us when we come to him in prayer? But we need to pray, he said, and not faint or lose heart, because that's what can happen. Jesus also taught us in prayer that we are to ask, seek, and knock. And when you read that in the Gospels, what's not indicated there is that in the original language, there's a continuance of these things. The tense is that you would continue in them. So you could translate it, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, don't give up. We're not to give up on prayer. We're to keep on praying. We are to press through. We are to persevere. Are you praying today for maybe a loved one? Someone said to me after the last service, they said, you know, you really exhorted us to keep praying for our children. Our children aren't walking with the Lord, and we've kind of just given up. We can't give up. We have to keep praying. Maybe you are praying for a loved one, perhaps a wayward child or someone near and dear that sin and Satan have overtaken. What can you do about that? You know, there's certain things we just we feel powerless to deal with, right? We can't talk to the person. They're not going to respond to anything that we say. And it looks like a hopeless situation. Is there anything I can do? Yes, we can keep praying. Charles Spurgeon, once again, to quote him, he said this. He said, those who are short of breath and soul winning will never be successful. You know what he's talking about, right? Short of breath. The person who, you know, takes off on a little sprint and runs out of breath real shortly isn't going to get too far. So soul winning, prayer, seeing things accomplished through prayer is not a short sprint. It's a long distance run. And Spurgeon goes on and he says this. He says, if they are not saved after 20 years of prayer, now we would think if somebody hasn't gotten saved after 20 years of prayer, they're never going to get saved, right? Not necessarily. I have personally heard stories of people that have been prayed for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And man, talk about perseverance. These saints have just kept praying and God has honored those prayers. There was a man named George Mueller who lived at the same time as Spurgeon did, actually, and he was in Bristol, England. Spurgeon was in London. And Mueller prayed for a group of people, and he prayed for them. I think there were four of them, and he prayed for a total of 60 years. And at one point, somebody asked him if he really thought the person that he'd been praying for maybe 30 years at this point, if he really thought that that person was ever going to come to faith in Christ. And he said, of course he's going to come to faith in Christ. God wouldn't have kept me praying all these years if he wasn't intending to bring him to faith. And it's true. So back to Spurgeon. He said, if they are not saved after 20 years of prayer, follow them up to the gates of hell, to the very verge of the infernal pit. Follow them with your prayers. If they will not hear you speak, they cannot prevent your praying. Do they jest at your exhortations? They cannot disturb you at your prayers. Are they far away so that you cannot reach them? Your prayers can reach them. Have they declared that they will never listen to you again, nor see your face? Never mind. God has a voice that they must hear. Speak to him, and he will make them feel. Though they now treat you despitefully, rendering evil for your good, follow them with your prayers. Never let them perish for lack of your supplication. Keep praying for those people. Keep praying for those loved ones. And you know, in some cases, you need to quit doing everything but praying. You need to quit trying to talk them out of their sin. You need to quit pointing out their sin and so forth. They already know that. The Spirit of God is able to do that. There are times when you just have to back away from a situation and pray and let God do the work. They won't listen to you, but there will come a point where they will have to listen to God. So persevere in prayer. And in situations that we see, you know, we have prayed a lot for Saeed Abedini, haven't we? And he's still languishing in a prison cell in Tehran. What do? Well, we keep praying. We keep praying that God will be with him. And God obviously has a purpose for allowing him there. And it's a purpose that we don't understand. Of course, we think that a situation like that should be immediately solved and he should be released from prison. And that would be the best thing from our perspective. But God's doing something eternal. And you never know what's going to happen. You know, there was a woman in the state of Texas, and she actually belonged to one of the Calvary chapels. And about 10 or 11 years ago or so, she was accused of murdering a child that she had adopted. The whole thing was just a miscarriage of justice. And she ended up spending 10 or 11 years in prison. She was just completely acquitted. All charges were dropped. She was released from prison. You know, it was all come out that the whole thing was, everything about it was wrong. She didn't murder the child or anything. But anyway, you know, she spent those 10 or 11 years in prison. And I said to Cheryl, because Cheryl was really familiar with the situation because she spoke at the church, and actually the pastor is a friend of mine, so I knew about some of the details. But as Cheryl was mentioning that she just was recently acquitted and set free and so forth, I said, but man, you know, the state took 11 years of her life, stuck her in a prison. And she reminded me, she said, yeah, and in those 11 years, she led all kinds of women to Christ and discipled them in prison. So, you know, God had a plan. And it's not a plan that I'm sure she would have chosen, right? I mean, if God said to you today, hey, I want to use you powerfully, I'm going to let you go to prison, let you get falsely accused and unjustly condemned and so forth, but I'm going to use you, we'd say, no, Lord, nah, find somebody else. That's all right. I'll just, you know, I kind of like it out here. It's pretty nice. We wouldn't volunteer for this stuff, would we? But God knows what he's doing. And so with Saeed, we look at Saeed and we think, well, why is he still there? We've been praying for him. He's not out yet. Well, God's evidently doing something. He's working something through Saeed and in Saeed. So all of that to say, but we don't stop praying. We continue to pray. Because even as we're praying, we're praying one thing, God, you know, release him. But even as we're praying that, I think the Lord's just taking into account the fact that we are praying, and he's being strengthened and he's being sustained and he's being given what he needs for this season. So again, persevere in prayer. And then Paul says, and supplication for all the saints. Now this word supplication, he uses it twice here. And this is where we have a little bit of a distinction. And supplication carries the idea of praying specifically for something. So with supplication, it's a more specific versus a more general kind of a prayer. So if you're making supplication for someone, there's going to be more specific things that you're praying for. So in one sense, it implies that there's going to be a knowledge, maybe a deeper knowledge of the circumstances. Sometimes that can come simply through the Spirit. As you're being directed by the Spirit will give us things to pray about we don't know anything about. I've had times when I've prayed for people things that I didn't really even know why I was praying that, but later you run into them and you talk to them and they tell you what was going on in their life and you realize, oh, that's why I was praying that. God gives you insight to make supplication. But then there's also those times where that information comes to us through, we seek it out. So what's happening in your life? What's happening in your ministry? What's happening in your family? What are the specifics? How can I pray for that? So supplication, but Paul says supplication for all the saints. You know, occasionally we might feel, well, I don't know, there's not really that much to pray about. There's a whole world full of believers to pray for, making supplication for all the saints. All of God's people need prayer, and we can engage in praying for all of God's people. Now, you know, here's the amazing thing about prayer. Again, you don't have to go anywhere. You can have an impact all over the world without ever leaving your own home. That's so amazing. You can be involved in God's work in countries that you will never visit in your life, but you can be involved through praying for the work in those places. You can engage in a great harvest in a certain part of the world by praying for those who are doing the work in those places. And you see, all of God's servants need prayer. All of God's people need prayer. Just think, there's tens of thousands of churches in the United States alone. I don't know the number, but tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands probably. But just think, if every church truly prayed for the body of Christ, if every church was praying for every other church and all of God's people and every Christian was praying for other Christians, I think that would produce something spectacular among God's people. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. This is part of the battle. This is the way we are to fight the devil. We're to pray for each other. Because I am a pastor, because I know what it's like to be in the ministry because I know what it's like to preach and to prepare and all of that. Every week, I try to, as we come into the weekend, I try to spend some time praying for pastors all around the world. Now, I know lots of pastors in different places in the world, and I will pray for them specifically, but the majority of pastors, I don't know them, but I know they're out there. And so I just try to get in my mind's eye just a picture of the globe, and then I just go from country to country, region to region. I can't remember all the countries, but I can pretty much look at all the continents and the regions. And just, Lord, for those pastors in that place, you know, it's funny because I often do this on Saturday when I'm taking a run. And I'm always conscious of the fact that the Australians and the New Zealanders and those guys who are my friends, they're actually starting their church services then because they're a day ahead of us. And so I start with them because they have the urgent need of the moment. But then I just try to make my way around the world. And sometimes I spend more time in one place than another, and sometimes I concentrate more on one person than somebody else because God might put something on my heart. But sometimes it's just more of a general, Lord, I'm just praying for blessing. I'm praying you'd pour out your spirit. I'm praying your word will go forth and bless your people as they gather in some, you know, places like African countries, like Nigeria and some of these places where crazy things have been happening. Lord, protect your people as they gather to worship you against those that might come in and try to destroy or whatever. So you see, these are ways that we are called to pray. But not just pastors or missionaries, but Sunday school workers, all of those engaged in ministry, but not just that, but just Christians in general. Praying for people who are believers, praying for families, marriages, fathers, mothers, children, teenagers, praying for those who are out in the workplace in challenging circumstances and so forth. You know, oftentimes when we pray here together as a staff, our pastoral staff, as we pray for you, as we pray for the congregation, we pray for you during the week. You're out there in the trenches. You're out there in places where it's hostile. You're out there working on a job and somebody just doesn't like you simply because you're a Christian. And they're harassing you and they're working to undermine you. We're praying for you. We're asking God to bless you and be with you. Some are going through difficult times in the home. Some are battling with illness and things like that. We pray for those things. I often think of those in the public education realm. We have many Christians who are out there teaching and administrating and serving in that kind of environment. It's a full-blown mission field. We pray for them as missionaries in their own communities. But see, these are the ways that we're to pray for one another. That's what Paul is talking about here, making supplication for all the saints. And again, this is the way to push back on the devil. This is the way. This is the primary way. These are the ways that God has given us. And if we put as much time into prayer as we put into some other things that are ineffective, I think we would see greater things. The great need, everybody's asking the question, well, what do we need in the country today? Well, the great need is a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual awakening. We need God to change people's hearts because the answer is not in any political party or in any political philosophy. There's no answer there. We need God to move. And that's going to happen. The likelihood of that happening increases as we pray. So, making supplication for all the saints. In closing, I want to encourage you to make a commitment yourself to pray regularly. Now, statistics say that most Christians pray only when they're in trouble. I don't believe necessarily that that's true, but may that not be the case with us. Let's pray all the time. That's what Paul's exhorting us to do. If you're only praying when you're in trouble, or if you're only praying for your particular problems or situation, if your whole life of prayer just revolves around yourself, then you're not having any real great impact against the kingdom of darkness. We got to get out beyond ourselves. Not saying don't pray for yourself. We can pray for ourselves, and sometimes that's where we need to start. But we need to pray in this sense, praying for the things that Paul tells us here and the ways that he's shown us here. But again, I want to encourage you, set aside some regular time to pray for yourself. Try to just take a few minutes each day to just stop and pray for God's work in your life and through your life, for God's work around you, for God's work in the church. Pray for us here. Pray for the larger picture of the church. In 10 minutes, you can pray for a lot of things. But you just take that time. And as you just start with that little amount of time, and you will find that 10 minutes won't be enough. You'll need more. And you'll start giving more time. But we also need to be involved in praying together with others. Many years ago, when I was a fairly new Christian, I didn't really know much. I don't think I'd ever read a book on prayer. I'd never even heard a sermon on prayer at this point, I don't think. But I just had an idea with a couple of friends, because two or three of us got saved and all the rest of our friends were not saved. We thought, why don't we get together and pray for these other friends of ours? Let's just pray that God will do for them what he's done for us. And in our ignorance and in our simplicity, we did that. We just got together. We started praying regularly. And do you know, in a matter of about 4 or 5 months, that number started out with three of us. That number went to about 50 people. And here we were in a little apartment in Huntington Beach, and pretty soon you couldn't even find a place to sit in there. God had just brought all of our friends out of the party, drug, surf, all of that stuff that we just spent our lives doing. He just began to draw a number of those people out of there. And here we are all of these years later, and the amazing thing is that with few exceptions, most of the people that were there are still walking with the Lord today. You know, so just looking at the fruit of what God's done over the years and seeing his faithfulness to answer prayer, I want to encourage you to pray. Pray for your friends, pray for your family, pray for the saints. Make supplication, because remember this, prayer is the most important thing. It's more important than all of the organizing we could ever do. It's more powerful than even all of the armies that might assemble. It's more influential than all of the money in the world. Prayer is the thing that makes God's people invincible. Prayer is the great need of the hour. Prayer completes the armor of God.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com. Click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Ready for Battle, and the resource number is BBE0048. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. If you've ever longed to travel to Israel to visit the land of the Bible, Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl are inviting you to join them May 5th through 17th in 2016. Going to Israel is an unforgettable experience. It's a time to grow in your knowledge of the Word, make new friends, and see Bible prophecy fulfilled before your eyes. You can get all the details at israel.cccm.com. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.